When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Two hours down inside the 9 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York. Welcome back. Thanks for holding. Thanks for waiting. KM to AM continues. I'm having a little bit of trouble in here getting the Mets game on, but I'm following along. Harrison Bader, good little pickup for the Mets. I know us Yankee fans laughed at that. We say, ha, picking up our scraps. We didn't want them. We put him on waivers. Well, I mean, he's having a year. He's having a pretty decent year for the Mets. And he drives in two. I just was talking to Marco because we can't, with the, I don't know, DirecTV is out, so we can't see the game. But it looked like Jose Iglesias had a little hitch in his giddy up coming across home plate. But I didn't see anything online about it. It was my observation. I'm like, is he limping? No. No one has reported anything. So I guess he's fine. But 2-0 Mets. Going well, going good so far. There is no jinx. There is no other shoe about to drop. They are going to handle business against the last place Rockies, and they're off to a good start right now. Luis Severino as well. Luis Severino is, where's he at right now? Since I'm not watching the game. One inning pitch, one inning and a third, three Ks, giving up nothing yet. He's got 19 pitches, 16 of them for strike. So, okay, I got NFL Network to work. Look at this. Inside training camp live. Wide receiver Brandon Ayuk more likely to be traded than have an extension signed with the 49ers. So, why can't the Niners lose week one? Some trouble in paradise. I guess they drafted the kid Ricky Pearsall from Florida to be another wide receiver, but yeah. Why can't the Jets knock them off week one? Crazier things have happened. David is in Yonkers. What's up, David? You're on The Fan.
Yes. Hi, Pete. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about the Jets, but just first, I just want to say that you and Tiki are my two favorite hosts on the station, and here's why. I mean, you're both very knowledgeable, but you're both extremely respectful to callers, and also with the two of you, neither one of you makes it about you. And what I mean is you focus on whatever the issue is, you focus on the caller, and you're not really sort of focusing on yourself. You get what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I'll take the compliment. I think so. I think Tiki is great. Tiki is, for Tiki to be who he is, you know, Hall of Fame running back, one of the greatest right. Giants of all time. Like, Tiki impresses me so much with the way he handles himself, how he is on air.
I agree.
Because there's a lot of guys that they don't, you know, I've met a lot of athletes and people of status that they don't carry themselves like that. They think they're better than everyone. Right. Tiki's not like that. He's right. A team player. And myself, right. I don't know. I just try to be respectful to people because, you know, I want people to respect me. And I knew coming into WFAN that would set me apart. I don't know any better than anyone else. And I care about people calling my show and waiting. And, you know, your opinion is as good as mine. And I don't know. Me and Tiki have in common that we played college football in Virginia. So maybe some of that Virginia college education started us off on the right track.
Okay. I didn't know that. But, yeah, again, I think both of you are great. Okay, on to the Jets. I've been around long enough to, I watched the Super Bowl III when the Namath and the Jets beat the Colts. So I was lucky, I guess, in a way to see that. But not much sense. And I guess my one fear about this year is the same thing that happened last year, which is that how long is Rodgers going to last? You know, I think he'll last more than four plays, but I take a bet that he doesn't last much more than five games before he gets hurt.
I would hope that he makes it through week five. Now, you know what I'll say, David? He has been out of football for so long. It is going to be kind of cringy to see him take that first hard hit and get up. Everybody's kind of going to hold their breath to see, oh, he got sacked, blindside hit. Is he all right?
Right. Right.
But he's a football player. This is a guy, he's played football his whole life, and he's tough, and he's worked out and trained, and he's also smart. And I think the lesson that he learned last year, that's going to stick with him. Get rid of the ball. Get rid of the ball. You can extend the play, but you got to get rid of the ball. And then also, I really do feel like him sitting out a year, he said he got to watch more NFL football than ever, which makes perfect sense, right? Usually he's working on Sundays. This past year, he got to watch the whole league. So I think that's going to make him even more cerebral. I think that's going to add to, you know, who he is as a quarterback. And, I mean, I'm rooting for the guy. I want to see him do well. Like, he's been here now. Aaron Rodgers is a song that doesn't end. We've been talking about Aaron Rodgers since, it seems like, December of 2022.
2022, yes. Right, right. I hope you're right, but I guess I just... You know, I'm just sort of preparing, I guess, hoping for the best, preparing for the worst.
You're jaded. I understand. I mean, between Super Bowl III and now, you have no reason to believe that this is going to work. But I'm telling you, it can.
Right. I hope so. But that's what I wanted to share. And again, my kudos to you and to Kiki. I think both of you are marvelous in terms of what you do and how you do it.
Thanks for the call, David. I've never done a show with Tiki now that I think about it. Nah, never done a show with Tiki. I mean, when it was Tiki and Tierney, I never filled in for BT with Tiki. And now that it's Evan and Tiki, it's not Evan and Tiki. It's Borash and Tiki. It's Loogie and Tiki. Evan has been in jury duty. Evan has been on vacation. Evan has been everywhere else. Shout out to Evan, though. Evan, like, what's going on, bro? Where you at, bro? Come on back. Alex is in Southampton, New Jersey. Alex, you're on the Fan in New York.
Yes, yes. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call. Before I get on my Giants point, I just want to know, I want to congratulate you because I think you're a pioneer bringing young listeners to the station. I've never seen any host. I've been listening since 2007. Taking so many calls of young kids and be patient with them and try to understand them and answer them correctly. I'm a baseball coach, so I love listening to you talking to the kids. Keep up the good work, Keith.
Yeah. I think it's my internet presence. A lot of the children are on the internet, and, you know, not for nothing, I've got more followers than most of the guys on this radio station that didn't play in the NFL. So a lot of the kids, I think, see me on Twitter or TikTok or Instagram. And then they click on that link and they listen to the show. And then also now I've been doing this for a few years where I meet guys that tell me their sons are listening in the car and they have no idea that their son is listening until their son's like, oh, that's my guy. I don't know. I'm blessed.
My daughter listens to you. My daughter tells me that you are because sometimes I can't catch you. And she's 11 years old and she's now getting into interest in baseball. And I love it because she talks about you, Keith. She talks about Tiki, she talks about, and she remembers Craig, but he's not there anymore.
I don't know. I'll say this. When I first started to pursue a media job, I really had was that I was in the MLB fan cave, and I was a Yankee fan. And I remember talking to someone, and they were like, you're going to do baseball stuff? Didn't you play college football? You should do football. Football skews younger. If you do baseball, the average baseball fan is like 65. And I didn't think that was true. And I remember... like praying on it, I'm like, when I get into this field, you need to have young fans because that's going to give you longevity, right? Because
absolutely.
I'm aging out, they're turning into the people spending money and going to see, you know, me do things and I love it. And I'm also a father. So what I really hope is that when my son is old enough and he admires somebody and he listens to somebody that, you know, they treat him the right way. So I try to do the same.
Absolutely. And one thing, I'm going to talk to you about the Giants, but I want to tell you about the Jets and the Jets fan. Dream on, baby. I'm a Giants fan. Dream on. You guys have a great, great team. You guys are going to beat the 49ers in week one. I'm putting $200.
Oh, I thought you were basically saying, like,
my best
keep
friend,
dreaming.
He's a 49ers. Because you have, no, seriously, the Jets have a great defense. And now they're going to have a quarterback that's going to—he's a Hall of Famer. This guy's going to put up points. He might not be in sync with the receiver.
Alex, those guys are tired of losing. They had back to back seasons like the same thing. Those guys are tired of losing. It's time.
And that's not the same when the defense got to go after five straight three and out. They tire. This time, Rodgers is going to give him time. Even if they're not scoring, Rodgers knows that the defense needs some rest, and he's going to make sure they get him. So, Jets fan, dream on. This might be your year if the Giants don't spoil the party. But, Keith, I know you was a college quarterback, and I want to ask you a question because I hear I'm a Daniel Jones fan. I mean, I don't believe in him as much as before, but I still think that the kid – have tough luck with injuries, and I think this year they're going to have a great line. You're going to have a lot of weapons. But one thing that I always hear, and some people on the fan, that he's a one-read guy and run. I didn't see that. I saw them making reads, but I'm going to take you at your word as a quarterback. What do you think? Can he be a serviceable to a good quarterback and making the reads and the throws? What do you think so far? What have you seen in being a quarterback yourself?
Yes, sir, he can. If they protect him, what I said last year about him, I mean, you got to be a one-read guy if you don't have time, if you don't have protection, if you're getting your ass kicked all game. He was getting beat up early. I mean, that Dallas game, they were all over him. Even the Seahawks game, like he was kind of having paralysis of analysis. I forget what the phrase is. It's just like he's getting stuck in the moment trying to do too much, but also not doing the regular things. I remember it was, I think, Witherspoon coming off with a corner blitz on the left side that everybody in the world could see, and he didn't pick up because he was just so stuck in the moment. And I kind of, with it being a rainy night, I made an analogy. I'm like, imagine you're drunk driving in the rainstorm. You're going to miss an exit. You're not going to see a car coming up.
Exactly.
I'm like, that's him. Like, this guy's dropping back. He can't see the coverage. He's been hit so much. He doesn't have his coordination, his focus. He's worried about getting hit. He's in pain. He's not reading the defense correctly. So it is just first read. Happy feet. Rely on my legs. Now, Alex, he can't rely on his legs because of that ACL injury. He can't be taking those shots. He can't be getting hit. He has to become more of a pocket passer. He has to know pre-snap read what he's doing. I remember last year people making fun of him against the 49ers as he's scanning the defense. They're like, oh, he's scared. Oh, he's shook. No, he's scanning the defense. It's a pre-snap read. He's trying to look at where the safeties are, where the linebackers are. Where am I going to go with this ball as soon as it snapped? I think Daniel Jones is smart. He went to Duke. I think this is his third year in the offense. He'll be fine with all that. And now he finally has the weapons and an offensive line. There's no reason he can't have a 20 to 25 touchdown passing
season. I agree.
Season.
What is over and under? Well, I don't know if you're going to give it now, but listen to another show closer to the,
week
to the
one
beginning of the season, because I know you want to save your prediction to the end, so I don't mind, but I'm going to stay tuned to make sure I get your prediction. I think the Jets, I'm going to bet them over. I think they're going, if they stay at 9, I'm going to bet them over. I think they're going to get more than 9 wins.
Yeah, but if they beat the Niners, they're off to the races. Thanks for the call, Alex. I'm not going to give my predictions because somebody will get hurt in camp or something will change with an opponent. But I think the Giants over and under is around 6 and the Niners is around, the Jets are around 9. I mean, if they beat the Niners, I really think they can be 5-0. Then that 9 win total is definitely in reach. And for the Giants, let's see. Let's see what this offense looks like. And I just put out on my Twitter, @Keith_McPherson, all of this hype around Malik Nabers from practice, we just started to see him go against the Lions DBs. He has all of this film cooking the Giants DBs, who aren't very good. And Kirby Joseph got under his skin because he was putting the clamps on him a little bit. That's why he got frustrated. That's why he hit him in the face. You get frustrated when a guy's locking you up. So, yes, I get it. Generational talent. This guy's the best Giants wide receiver ever. But we got to chill on practice. The game is way different than practice. And again, he's only going to be as good as Daniel Jones is at getting him the ball and Brian Daboll is at scheming to get him the ball. I'm handing him the ball. I'm throwing him screens. I'm throwing him quick game to get him activated, to get him going, because he is like that. Once he gets the ball in his hands, he's fast, he's shifty, and he's a dog. He's ready to compete and fight.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Okay, we're back. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for holding. Joining us right now, my guy, and we had to drop a beat for him, of course. He's a hip-hop head. I told you he was coming through. Without further ado, reporting for The Athletic, covering your New York Yankees, it's Brendan Cuddy back on The Fan. Oh, I thought he was there. Brendan!
Hello.
Okay, we got you now. What's up, man?
Not much, man. Am I on the air now?
Yeah, I think we had a little technical difficulties. Just one button needed to be pressed. But could you hear me? Did you hear my intro for you?
Yeah, no. Wait, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now. We all can hear you.
Yeah. You guys just called me, so I'm ready to go.
All right, perfect. Well, it's an off night, and I'm sure you could be doing anything with your time. Thanks for joining us, first off. Let's talk about the New York Yanks. So there was a lot of different things coming out today before it rained. Clark Schmidt, John Birdie, Jose Trevino, Anthony Rizzo. The trade deadline is over, but there's still help on the way. The Yankees stand to get a handful of guys back here, and I think that's going to help the team. The first question I had, though, is like, who's going to disappear? Are they going to send Ben Rice down? Like, how do we make room for all these guys?
That's a great question. Look, Ben Rice is playing pretty well, right? The numbers aren't popping out at you, but if you watch it at bat day in and day out, I mean, you hate to say it about a veteran like Anthony Rizzo, but has Ben Rice each day given you what were probably better at bats and better results than what Anthony Rizzo has given you?
I think so.
At the beginning of the season? He may have, and it's a matter of, do the Yankees in the playoffs want to rely on Ben Rice, the rookie, or Anthony Rizzo, who has a World Series under his belt, and, you know, just where he's at in his career right now and where he's at post-injury, right? Look, when Rizzo comes back, it'll be, you know, later this season. He's not going to have a great big on-ramp to get a lot of time.
Right.
So it's a matter of you know, how much time will he have to get ready? The Yankees could send down Rice to make a little bit of room and give Rizzo some runway, or they could just rock with Rice. Look, they're going to have a lot of issues in general. You know, do you send down Oswaldo Cabrera for John Birdie when he's back?
No.
Trevino.
No.
Trevino, you know, that's a pretty simple one with Narvaez heading down. The Yankees will welcome him back. When Clark Schmidt comes back, who gets bumped from the rotation? Or does Clark Schmidt go to the bullpen? He has experience there. Or, worst case scenario, do the Yankees finally feel like they need to you know, bite the bullet and send Luis Gil down there to manage his innings? There's a lot of not fun decisions facing the Yankees going forward. Typically, what you're worried about is replacing, you know, better players on your roster. But I don't think it's a complete straight shot with any of these guys, except for Trevino.
Yeah, I think it's a wait-and-see kind of thing. These things work themselves out. We can't call it today, but we'll figure it out. Will Warren will be back tomorrow as we have a doubleheader, 4:05 start. Luis Gil will pitch the first game, and Will Warren will get another crack at it, his debut in Yankee Stadium, the second game. What do you expect from the Yankees now, having 2 days off and barely beating the Toronto Blue Jays, but here come the Anaheim Angels in a series that I think they should sweep? It's tough to sweep a doubleheader, but I'm like, you got to take all three from the Angels.
I mean, if you look at where the Angels are in the standings, if you look at their Mike Troutless roster, if you look at just the differences in the two, you don't pick the Yankees to lose any of these games. So by that math, you expect the Yankees to sweep. Of course, it depends on what happens tomorrow. Will Warren looks honestly pretty good in his outing against the Phillies. The line wasn't spectacular, but that's maybe the best offense in baseball. You know, making your debut on the road against a hostile crowd that's filled with tough lefties in Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber. So you like that, and you like Will Warren's chances tomorrow night. And then you got Luis Gil, who's been dynamite since his little low in the middle of the season. Yeah, I think the Yankees, this not just against the Angels, but the better part of their upcoming schedule, they should be racking up series wins and really looking to, you know, build some ground on, you know, catch up to and build some ground on the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, speaking of Baltimore Orioles, you just reminded me to check that out-of-town scoreboard as they are facing the Toronto Blue Jays, who we just faced, and hopefully Toronto has the same gusto about them. You know, they have the same compete level about them that they just had, because we could use some help here. BK, I've been talking about how important it is for this team to win the division and for this team to get that number one seed and get the bye, because everybody's talking about the American League is wide open. But if I know these Yankees like I know these Yankees, that doesn't matter. They'll defeat themselves. They'll strike out 50 times, or they'll give up home runs. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you absolutely have to do everything you can in these next few weeks to win the division and secure that one seed so you have an easier path to getting back to the World Series. What do you think about that?
I mean, sure. I'll agree with one of your points that you need to do absolutely everything you can to ensure that number one seed, to win the division, to just go out and win every game so you remove a margin of error. I won't agree with the idea that, you know, the Yankees can just simply, you know the Yankees, and they're just going to give this away, that they're going to fumble it away, that they're going to strike out 50 times. I mean, that's a little bit defeatist attitude there, especially from a team, that's playing significantly better.
I mean, I believe in them, I'm going off of what I've seen.
I mean, you're going off what you've seen, but also going off of what you've seen without Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup, Volpe being hot like he's been lately. Mm-hmm. You know, without potentially getting some of these guys back. You know, we didn't even talk about Jason Dominguez. You know, does he start taking at bats? Does he even start taking at bats at some point this year?
Yeah.
Things are looking pretty up right now. While I acknowledge, Keith, for sure, that, you know, just a week and a half ago, stuff wasn't all good just a week ago, as Jay and Too Short said. Things weren't looking great.
Update out of Toronto at the Rogers Center. The Blue Jays lead the Baltimore Orioles 5-2 in the bottom of the eighth. You know, I'm just saying what I've seen past years, bro. Like, past years, it's like, oh, the Yankees are winning the World Series, and then they get in the ALCS, they strike out a bunch. Guys give up home runs. They can't make easy outs. But that's in the past. Optimism, right? Juan Soto has a different gear when he gets to October. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Aaron Judge is in his prime. And let's talk about that, as well as Dominguez. People keep talking about, what are they going to do if teams intentionally walk Judge? I would. If I'm the Angels, I'm not pitching to that guy. I'm surprised he's able to hit as many home runs and have as many ribbies as he has right now. I would have stopped pitching to him a long time ago. Guys keep trying him. But I keep talking about, like, it's about who's behind him. Austin Wells has been their best cleanup hitter. But, man, why not bring up Dominguez after he gets a few games and put him behind Judge? Like, we got to start figuring out this lineup and get to the point where there's a consistent lineup. But I know they're still figuring and tweaking things, and we're going to have different lineups pretty much every day.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's easy to say call up Dominguez and put him behind Judge, but where do you put him on the roster? Do you cut Trent Grisham? Do you cut Alex Verdugo? Do you send down Oswaldo Cabrera, and now you don't have a backup shortstop? I mean, Peraza's playing well lately too. Yeah. I mean, he's not like the worst idea of a guy who can play multiple positions and maybe even run for you in playoffs. I mean, I could be stretching with that, but you know, I'm just saying, where do you put Dominguez? And you know, the Yankees, which as they rightfully should, in a lot of cases they prioritize depth, so they're going to want to keep Verdugo should Dominguez get hurt again. You know, should something else happen.
Yeah, and see, that's, you know, things working itself out as well. We're on the phone with Brendan Cuddy, who covers the Yankees for The Athletic. You know, like, somebody's going to get hurt. I hate to put that out there, but it's just, we're in the dog days. Somebody who has been healthy all of this time is going to potentially get hurt. And then you call guys up. Like, that's where we were at. We're like, oh, is it going to be a six-man rotation when Gerrit Cole comes back? No, Cody Poteet goes down after Clark Schmidt went down and there was, you know, room for Gerrit Cole. And I don't know. Let's see how Giancarlo Stanton comes along and let's see how this outfield shakes out, because right now it's a coin flip between Trent Grisham and Alex Verdugo, in my opinion. I don't really want to see Judge in left field again, but like, Trent Grisham has had his moments and he's the best option they have in center field. But like, it's not like taking his bat out of the lineup. Like, if Dominguez is more of what he is last year or what we saw last year, he can play center field pretty well, maybe even better than Judge. And he's a switch hitter with power that it seems like he's hitting the long ball more often than not. Like, I don't know. If this kid can get back, we're going to want to see him, because we want this lineup to be as potent as possible, where there's no holes and there's protection for these guys.
Sure. And I just don't think August 6th is the time to be making those changes, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not expecting it till September. People kept asking me about Dominguez. I'm like, September, embrace the Martian.
Right. So, refresh me, despite me being the guy who literally does this for a living. September, rosters expand, 28 players, right? You get a pitcher and a hitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Then,
right? I mean, though, wait. Though, actually, not boom necessarily, right? Because if you want to keep Rice and Rizzo up, though, I guess they're redundant in that they're both first lefty hitting first baseman. But if you want to keep Birdie around, you know, that's
what do you think about John Birdie? This is what I've said about John Birdie. Obviously, they die hard on their trades and their contracts. They gave up something for this guy opening day, so they're going to try and use him. But he's 34 years old, and he's been hurt all year. I think he's one false move away from being hurt again. I can't rely on him, but he is fast. And I think he can bring something to the team, but I just can't put I can't put anything into that basket of John Birdie. He's just a non-factor to me right now.
Here's what I say to that. They didn't get John Birdie just for this season. You know, John Birdie won't be a free agent until after next year. So, you know, he's got control.
Yeah,
you have him for next season. I think when he's healthy. And, you know, he's got to get there first, right? He had a setback. I mean, you might be looking at him taking Cabrera's spot, because the Yankees have enough outfielders and Birdie can play, you know, all the infield spots.
Yeah, I'm just an Oswaldo guy. I had him on the show earlier tonight. He's just a good kid. He's ready when they call on him. He's played multiple positions. He's been clutch for us.
You know,
but
Oswaldo is the best. That guy is smiling literally every time I see him.
All the time.
He remembers everyone's name. He shakes everyone's hand, and it's not phony. Like, it's real with him.
He's just a genuine good dude. Like, I root for guys like that because they deserve it. But I understand it's a business. I understand John Birdie is a veteran, 34 years old, and has a different skill set. And, I mean, when he came here in that Marlins series, I remember being like, yo, why is he playing over Oswaldo Cabrera? Because he's a former Marlin? So, I expect when he's ready, they're going to try and find a spot for him and put him out there. But where's the spot? Is it second base? Well, because no, Jazz Chisholm's your utility, third baseman now.
It's utility infield. He's backup. He's in a role similar to Oswaldo Cabrera.
So, he's on the bench. We were sending Oswaldo down, and he's on the bench waiting in the wings for his number to be called.
It's a possibility.
That's fine. What about Clark Schmidt now? How soon can Clark get back? Because when I look at this rotation, I'm honestly still disappointed. I know the trade deadline is over, but I'm still disappointed they didn't go out and get a starter, whether it be Jack Flaherty or some other random, I don't know, it could have been Paul Blackburn. I feel like they needed another option in the rotation because, I mean, Stroman Friday, forget about it. Rodon, I mean, he's been better this second half, but how long until he turns back into a pumpkin? Nestor Cortez, they were talking about trading Nestor, and Nestor has had some bad ones. It's really just Cole and Heal, and I know we all have this ticking time bomb on Luis Heal. Like, when's it going to happen that he's thrown too many innings, that he's not the same anymore? And with Gerrit Cole, you know, he got scratched from his start in Philly. He came out in this start. He was holding his neck, his trap, his, I don't know. I don't feel like we have the pitching right now in the starting rotation. There's a bunch of names in the bullpen that they can work with.
Right, but out of the names you mentioned in on the trade deadline, forget Blake Snell, he wasn't getting traded. Jack Flaherty, sure, if he's healthy. But outside of those guys, who do you put over Clark Schmidt?
I don't know. I gotta Blackburn go back over. To see, like, who else got traded from the starting?
Kikuchi, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, you say Kikuchi for what they gave up for him.
But then you still gotta sit Schmidt in the rotation when he comes back.
Nah, see, Clark's got some stuff. I feel like Clark can be a weapon. Like you said, he has experience out of the bullpen, literally in the postseason, but also as a starter, early in the season before he got hurt, he had some games where he was getting deeper in the games, where he really was coming along. I know it's going to be hard to regain that form, but maybe he can.
Sure. Right. Yeah. I mean, listen, he's got relief experience, right? So does Nestor Cortez. And if Marcus Stroman isn't getting it done in the rotation, you know, will the Yankees in the playoffs consider making a move there? As it stands right now, the Yankees seem to be reconfiguring the rotation in some way. Aaron Boone said that with Will Warren and with Luis Heal starting tomorrow. Nestor Cortez was set to start Thursday or Wednesday. I forget. He was next in line. But, you know, are they going to go in line or are they going to skip someone's start? And, you know, who right now is pitching the worst out of the group? It's Marcus Stroman. So I don't know where the Yankees are going to go, but they might be tipping their hand as to who they're favoring in the rotation. We might see that sometime soon, or we might not at all.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Stroman historically is not a second half pitcher. He's struggled. I just really look at the last start as he's a creature of habit. That game got pushed back to 8:30. I literally had the feeling, I'm like, this guy, I don't know. But, you know, the contract that they gave him, I expect them to roll him out there as long as he's healthy. But then when I look at the rest of the options, I do want to see more of Will Warren. I'm ready for Clark to get back. Cody Poteet is now on the 60-day IL. It is what it is. If I'm looking at the Yankees going into October, it's Gerrit Cole game one, hopefully a Luis Heal start game two. But then I fear they're going to throw Carlos Rodon game three.
He's pitching better lately. Who's game three if not Rodon?
It wouldn't be Will Warren. Nestor Cortez. And no, I don't want that. I don't want that. I'm just saying right now, in theory, I'm not confident in that.
It's what you got.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there were rumors that they were going to trade for Jameson Taillon, and that didn't get done. What do you say about the whole thing with Aaron Judge getting intentionally walked? I don't think it's going to be that much of an issue, but what do you think about flipping him and Juan Soto in the lineup? That's a call that I've gotten five times since Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know, right? Because is it so bad to give Austin Wells at bats with Aaron Judge on first base?
No, it's not. You know? And the reason that Judge is at this pace with his runs batted in is because Soto is a walk machine, and also he just gets on. And like, how many times have we already seen Judge? He gets on first inning, Judge drive him in. He gets on and Judge hits it out. It's a two-run bomb and not a solo shot like it was in 2022.
Yeah, I would say don't mess with a good thing, right? Judge and Soto have been your stars. They've been outstanding. Don't overthink it. If you're worried about Judge getting walked all the time, I mean, not every team's going to walk him. Some teams are going to have pride. Some teams are going to think that their matchup's good. Some teams are going to just make mistakes. And in some spots, you're not going to be able to pitch around Aaron Judge or intentionally walk Aaron Judge. Otherwise, you're gonna have Juan Soto on second base and Aaron Judge on first base, and Austin Wells up with one out. Mm-hmm. You know, do you want a 3-run homer potentially? You know, so I think you don't flip them. I think you keep them where they're at, and you just, you know, let a free base runner is a free base runner, man. That's not a bad outcome.
Okay, two more things for you. We're on the phone with Brendan Cuddy right now. You should be following him on Twitter. I've been following him for years. I think he used to write for NJ.com, but now you're with The Athletic. Either way, you just got a ton of insight, and you're a hip-hop head. It's at Brendan Cuddy NJ on Twitter for those listening. So two more things. One, Jazz Chisholm Jr., JCJ, Smooth Jazz. What a debut in the road grays. But I've been saying, damn, those pinstripes look heavy on the guy. He hasn't had the same flair for the dramatic in Yankee Stadium. Maybe he's pressing too much, but I still think he's like that. I still think he's built for the Bronx, and I think we'll see that at some point again this next homestand. What do you think about Jazz? I love the fact that he told Aaron Boone that, you know, I think I was born to play third base. So, okay, Cashman, maybe you unlock that. This guy was ready and willing to play third base, and he's been pretty decent at it.
Right. Yeah. Look, I don't know that the pinstripes are weighing heavy on him. I think if you look at Chisholm's career, he's what, a slightly above average hitter, you know, in terms of OPS plus. He played out of his mind when he got to Philadelphia and showed up with the Yankees. And, you know, there was naturally going to be a coming back to earth. And you know what? Fans don't know this stuff, and I'm not saying reporters know all of it, but Jazz is also getting settled in New York City, right? There's a lot of light stuff that comes along with your first home series.
Yeah.
Or your first few home series, right? Because I believe he's under control through the 2026 season. So Jazz isn't just looking for, you know, whatever Times Square
Ritz Carlton you can stay in. 2 months.
Nah, he's looking for like a real ass apartment.
Yeah.
And he's looking to settle himself, and he's seeing what he looks like in pinstripes, and he's facing not easy pitchers, right? So I don't know that's the pinstripes weighing heavy on him. I think it's more of just you're not going to hit 4 home runs in every 3 games, and I think that there is an adjustment to, okay, like this is my home now and this is my new position now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to slight the guy. I just, a lot of people are talking about him hitting one over the short porch and him, I'm like, he's not going to homer every day. He's not going to have 2 homer days. And, you know, coming to Yankee Stadium, you know, hearing that roll call, doing your little step back 3, that was fire. But at the same time, he had plenty of opportunities in that Blue Jays series to come through. And he just ran into some bad luck. But I still think the guy, like I said, he's got the aura. He's got the moxie. He's built for it. He's going to come through clutch. And, you know, right away, people were saying that that's the best acquisition at the trade deadline because he made an immediate impact. And I think he still got it done with his glove enough. He's still going to make an impact on the base pass. I still think there's an option for him to lead off potentially. And that brings me to my last question. Anthony Volpe, in my opinion, should have never been moved to the leadoff spot. I've been on that so much so that Aaron Boone referenced it on Talking Yanks. You know, like Keith McPherson always says, going back to his comment, I kept saying, like, I hated the fact that he made the comment about in 10 years, Volpe will be the leadoff hitter or look like that, whatever. I guess I took it out of context. What he meant was like, it's going to take 10 years for him to become the guy. What I didn't like was that they made him the guy the next day. Look at his resurgence being in the lower half or even literally batting 9th. Look at what he's been these last couple weeks, not having to bat in front of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think when Boone said that, he meant that it was going to take 10 years for him to be the guy. I think he meant that, you know, 10 years into his career, we're going to be looking at Anthony Volpe as an established number one hitter who's been doing it for quite some time. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. It's kind of crazy to be projecting 10 years into the future of what someone will eventually become.
Yeah, what happened to Greg Bird, man? What happened to Miguel Andujar?
Yeah. I mean, you tear up your shoulder, you tear up your ankle. That's what happened to Bird and Andujar. Frazier.
Chance Adams.
So, really nice guy.
Jesus Montero.
He's Michael Pineda. But, you know, out of the leadoff spot for his career, Jazz Chisholm has a career 732 OPS. You know, it's not better than other spots in the lineup for him. Batting four in 57 games, that's 831 OPS. Batting six is a 904 OPS. So maybe Chisholm isn't best suited for the leadoff spot. Maybe he was doing it for the Marlins because they're the Marlins, and who else is going to do it? Maybe he's not best suited there. But is he capable there? Sure. But I wouldn't worry too much about whether he should be the leadoff guy, especially considering, I mean, this happened the other night. With Volpe and Chisholm, both on base, they went from being on first and second, I believe, to being on second and third in a double steal situation. And it really affected the running game that way. I don't know that you need someone speedy in front of Soto and Judge. You need someone that Soto and Judge can knock in. And I don't think anyone thinks that Volpe is a 70 runner like they think of Jazz. But he can run the bases. So that was kind of the thinking there to an extent. Of course, there was more behind it. Whether he's leading off or hitting in the back middle part of the lineup, I think it's immaterial. And I think that the Yankees just need to figure, lefties get Glaber up there and righties. Verdugo or Dominguez, if they ever use him, or
I like the idea of Dominguez leading off.
I mean, it's a thought. There's a lot of things they can toy with, but give them some credit for getting the four spot evened out, right? Because Austin Wells is really looking like the real deal since the All-Star break.
Yeah, and good news: the game is over in Toronto. Blue Jays defeat the Orioles 5-2. Brendan Cuddy, you're the man. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, Keith, thank you for having me on.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Far back to pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right. The pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, quickly here. Let me take another call, and then we'll go to the next break. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on The Fan. Another 5-hour KM to AM, a not regularly scheduled one, a rainout version where the Yankees get rained out, and I'm on standby. Stay ready so you don't got to get ready. I was planning it. I was tweeting out early, like, hey, they don't play this game. I'm on at 7. Much rather be on at 7. Is rain happening now in Colorado? See people moving in Colorado. Is it about to start raining out there? In Colorado, the Mets are down 4-2. The satellite here was out, so I didn't see how it happened. The boy Rami Lavie in the newsroom told me there was something that went on with Severino not covering, and we'll get to that in a minute. But right now, Bruce is in Flushing. Bruce, you're on The Fan.
Hey, Keith. By the way, Mets are now down 4-3.
Okay, I just saw the run come across.
Okay. Before I get to my Yankee points, did you see what happened in Baltimore tonight with their starting pitcher?
No, I didn't. I was just looking at the score, but I saw
Grayson Rodriguez was scratched 10 minutes before the game with right lat soreness in the shoulder.
Not great. They've already lost like four of their starting pitchers this year.
Yeah. Now let me get to the Yankees. I was upset by the trading deadline on a multitude of levels, and then we'll get to what we have to do now. Number one, how? If you really want to win this World Series and get to the World Series, you should have went after the San Francisco pitcher, Snell.
No one got him. Yeah, they didn't move him, but that'd be nice. Coincidentally enough, he has his first no-hitter right after.
Now, if you tell me by not going after him, you're going to sign Soto no matter what. I can live with that. But because you didn't trade for the pitcher, you better sign Soto. Now, where do we go from here? If Warren is decent tomorrow, 5-6 innings, 2 or 3 runs, I would keep him up and put Stroman on a DL. And you can point out, hey, he's losing velocity on his pitches. Say he has a tired arm and just substitute Warren for Stroman for next couple of weeks and see what happens. Because right now, I have no confidence in Stroman.
I'm with it. And, I mean, Clark Schmidt is on the mend as well. I'm down for that solution.
And as far as leadoff hitters, we were talking before, I thought Rice did a decent job and leadoff. And this way, you know he's not going to try and steal bases. He took pitches. He walked. He has a good eye. I love his swing. And put him back and leadoff. And then leave Volpe down later in the lineup. And as you see, when he's later in the lineup, he can be aggressive and steal bases.
I wanted that from the beginning of the year. I never wanted him moved out of the sixth spot where he was when we started the year. But whatever, made it back around to it.
Okay, Keith, take care.
Thanks for the call, Bruce. Yeah, a lot going on. A lot going on. Grayson Rodriguez scratched with the right lat, with right lat discomfort before first pitch. Not great for the Orioles. The Orioles go out there and they drop that first game to Toronto, as I was hoping, saying I hope that Toronto has some fight in them. Well, that made it obviously easier for them. So your New York Yankees, without playing a game in 2 days, are in first place by themselves.